The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 8th chapter. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say, 'You will become free'?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son remains forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." This is the Gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. These familiar words from the Declaration of Independence form a foundation for our understanding of freedom. Through the years, though to our shame, not always willingly, these rights have been understood ever more broadly to cover all races, to cover both sexes, to cover children and the aged, and I pray soon to cover also the unborn. Historically, citizens of these United States have taken great pride in their liberty and have resisted anything that would infringe upon it. But with the coronavirus pandemic, many restrictions, mandated lockdowns, masks, and social distancing were patiently endured. Even that has begun to change. Governors, legislators, and citizens have gone to court to challenge extended and new mandates, and in some cases have prevailed. Citizens have organized and gone to the streets to protest what they see as government overreach, infringement on the freedoms that God has given us. These freedoms, recognized and enshrined in our founding documents, continue to be treasured and celebrated still today. What a cruel irony it would be if, as in the plot of some futuristic drama, we were to discover that all of our valued freedoms turned out to be mere illusion, a sham, the result of cynical manipulation by some clandestine organization. If it turned out that all along we've really been unwitting slaves who only thought that we were free. That is precisely the situation in today's gospel reading. People were believing in Jesus, accepting what he had to say as true, and following him. But then they were pulled up short when he said, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered, "Just a minute, what do you mean? We're already free." Their ancestors may have been subjugated by the Egyptians and then the Babylonians and Persians in the past. Roman soldiers occupied Jerusalem even as they spoke. Yet they claimed never to have lost the inward freedom of the soul. They were proud of their careful observance of the law, proud of their commitment to follow the covenant precisely But in their pride, they had deluded themselves and didn't recognize their true enslavement. They were in bondage to sin. They were under the curse of death. They were well on the road to hell. They needed the truth of the gospel of salvation far more desperately than they knew. But they refused to have anything to do with it. As we celebrate the Reformation of the Church today, you may perhaps note that things were much the same in Luther's day. People were proud of their piety, content with their religious status quo, certain that they had spiritual matters well in hand. After all, their ancestors had been Christian as far back as they could remember. They had been brought to church since childhood. They knew all of its ceremonies by heart. They met whatever expectations the church had for them. They had no doubt that they were God's people. Therefore, he had to accept them. To this sort of thinking, Jesus very solemnly replies, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin." Regardless how secure and free anyone feels, even a single sin shows that he is far from free. The freedom Jesus is speaking of is not a freedom to do whatever you might desire, but rather a freedom to desire to do the right thing and to do it willingly. The problem Jesus' reply uncovers in the sinner is not some small deficiency in behavior. The problem that he is bringing to the light of day is an entire life under the domination of sin. It's not simply an action here or an action there that's affected, but the entire being, every thought and desire as well. Any claim to the contrary is like the protest of an alcoholic or drug addict who says, "I can stop any time I want. I just don't want to right now." The problem Jesus is describing is a will fully dominated by sin. By nature, we don't want to change. We're happy and content the way we are. We really don't mind serving our lusts for money or power or pleasure. In fact, that's what we're dedicated to doing. And we don't appreciate any criticism of it. But then we hear the Son's warning. "Truly, truly I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed." This is Jesus' call for reformation. A reformation that's needed continuously, both in the church and in the life of each individual Christian. The problem in Jesus' day was people who had believed, but who had departed from the truth. They weren't abiding in Jesus' word, and thus didn't believe that all their righteous deeds were like a polluted garment, didn't believe that salvation is a gift of God, not a result of works. The problem in Luther's day was similar. The church had departed from the truth. They weren't abiding in Jesus' word. but included also, and even in place of the word, the traditions and rules of men. What was needed was to return to the word of Jesus, to cling to it, to cling to it alone. Only then would they know the truth, and only then would the truth set them free. So is there a problem today? Does the church today abide in Jesus' word? And even more importantly, do you abide in his word? Through his word this morning, Jesus invites each of us to consider the question, am I truly a disciple? You and I are professing Christians, members of the Lutheran Church, a church that has been built on Christ's word. But keep in mind, abiding in his word means more than just an acquaintance with his word. Even more than being able to say that his word is true. Abiding in his word means believing what it says about you and about him. Abiding in his word results in a heart that despairs of any goodness or merit in itself. Abiding in his word results in a heart that trusts in and relies on his promises alone. But here we run into a problem. Our grasp on Jesus' word isn't what it could be. You and I are not the disciples we should be. At times we think more highly of ourselves than we ought. Temptations to doubt that we need forgiveness, or alternately, that God is capable of forgiving us and accepting us, given all that we've done, are all too familiar. Inadequate is a word that describes our response to God, our faith in him. Not a single one of us can pull ourselves free from the bondage of sin. The good news of the gospel is that God doesn't require us to. The wonderful truth that sets us free, the truth of which Jesus speaks here, the truth that reformed the church in Luther's day, is that God's grace is sufficient where you and I are not. Every effort to free ourselves will fail. But when the truth, the incarnate Son of God, sets us free, we are free indeed. St. Paul explains that the power of sin is the law. But Christ has fulfilled the law, completed what you and I couldn't do, and thereby has removed sin's power over you. You are declared just, righteous, sinless, holy, through faith in the only one who was truly, absolutely righteous. Through faith, by God's grace, because of Jesus Christ, God sees you not as what you are by nature, a sinner deserving of hell, but rather as what Christ is, his own holy and beloved child. Do you have sins that worry you? Things that you've done or continue to struggle against that you feel you have to put aside fully before God will be willing to love you and forgive you? The blessed truth is that that isn't how God works. He doesn't come to you demanding something. By his perfect life and innocent death, Jesus fulfilled all of God's demands. Now, therefore, God comes to you with open arms, offering, giving, saying, Jesus has fully paid the penalty you earned. My heart goes out to you. I love you and want you to spend all eternity with me. Leave behind all those fears and worries. They don't need to concern you. I'm telling the truth. I love you. I forgive you. You have nothing to fear. Trusting this message, believing that God means every word of it, and depending on it even though it feels that it just can't be true, brings you the true and complete freedom of which Jesus speaks. In Christ, you can be free from fear. You don't have to be afraid of God, because Christ has paid in full every debt you owe. You don't need to be afraid of what the future might hold, because you know that your ultimate destiny is heaven, and that God promises to support you every step of the way through this life until he calls you there. And because of this, you are also free to love. Where before God had seemed a hard taskmaster, ready to crack the whip if you falter just a bit, now you know him as a loving and merciful Father, whom it is your pleasure to serve. Because of forgiveness in Christ, the onerous burden of obedience is transformed into a joyful opportunity to say, thank you. Having been set free by the Son, you are free indeed. In response to this great gift, St. Paul urges, stand firm, therefore, by the power of the Spirit, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. Abide in Jesus' word. Don't deny the power sin would exert over you, but know that the Son has set you free. He died your death so that you could have his place, the place of a son, dwelling in the house of the Lord forever. It's true, blessedly true. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting.